Welcome to this special Easter Sunday message, wherever you're dialing in from. What a great time it is to spend together doing something that edifies and fills our soul. I want to read something to you, and it's from the Bible, and it's a book called Romans. Romans is a book written by a theologian, church planter, philosopher called Paul. And Paul writes this book to a group of people living in Rome at the time. It'll be on screen for you to read, or you can go into the little Bible section we've got here on this page and you can find it there totally for free. Romans chapter 8 says this: "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Friend, if I could stop right there and tell you in the chat right now, put, "If God is for me, who or what could ever stand against me? Who's going to ever oppose God if they know God is on my side?" Verse 35, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death?" No. It feels a little bit to me like this calamity, don't you? Do you sense the trouble, the air of death around? But does this mean that we're separated from God? Paul writes, verse 37, no. Despite all these things, you see, despite all the pain, all the loss, all the confusion, despite all the grief, despite, because you're going to get all that in life because we all live on the same planet. Despite all of that, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory. Someone just needs to put in the chat, hashtag whatever, write down on your notes and say, "I have overwhelming victory." Verse 38, "And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." Man, Paul is going for the jugular right now. Check this out. "Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the fears of today nor the worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord." Man, Paul has had some coffee today. He is really going for it. Let me dial back a bit. Verse 38. "I'm convinced that nothing could ever separate us from God's love." Paul's convinced, are you? Nothing can separate me from God's love. Death nor life. And he starts to list a whole bunch of ones. Death nor life. Angels nor demons. He goes a lot of the rings on us for a minute here. And listen, here's the deal. Do you not feel like sometimes in life, some things work against you and some things work for you? Now, we believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus overcame the grave. So he is the ultimate force. He is the one above it all, ahead of it all. So we don't need to be worried, because even the forces of darkness, even death and life can't separate us from Jesus's love. What about the fears and worries? Man, there's a lot of fear and worry. I think we should go to war with worry, because we know that if God is for us, who can stand against us? And my prayer for you is the same prayer of King David in the book of Psalms, where he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because you are with me, Lord." This is the prayer we have today. Wherever you are, whether you're in Winstanley, whether you're in London, whether you're in Australia or America or Africa, wherever you are, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you have no need to fear today, because there is now no separation between you and God's love. No power in the sky or anything on land. There is something in the air today. There is something that is spreading in the air today. You have no need to fear, because God is with you and God is for you. Me and my wife, we have two kids, a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they are just crazy. Okay, literally crazy. They definitely take after the father. my five-year-old daughter doing stories with my wife the other night. Just the other night, she said, "Mummy, you still love me even when I have naughty behavior," which is, you know, often depending on what day it is. And Han was like, "Of course I love you. It doesn't matter whether you're naughty or good, I'll always love you." Now imagine my daughter went through life with the understanding that when she does something naughty, that somehow stops the tap of Hannah's love for her, her mother's love for her. Imagine what that would do to her. It would push her down a very self-destructive path in life, and it's heartbreaking to watch these stories of rejection play out time and time again in the generations. God's heartbroken at the fact that he knows there's people out there, and maybe someone hearing my voice right now, that you think that God's love is based on something that you do, when it's not. Because God loves you even when you have naughty behavior, even when you need to go and sit on the step for a minute and cool down. Now, wait a minute. You just said nothing separates us from the love of God. So if that's so, then wouldn't more people feel closer to God? Yeah, but there's a difference between separation and distance. I distance myself when I feel embarrassed or ashamed, when I feel guilty, or if I don't belong. I remove myself, I move away. We're in a season at the minute of self-distancing, aren't we? We're on lockdown, we're keeping away from each other, which is a really good thing in this sense. We are self-distancing, but let me speak to our community. We are not separated. We are still one in spirit, one in heart. We are still a family. So you listening to this online, you need to contact us. You need to encourage us. You need to contact people in the church community. There are so many things as we as a church are trying to serve our town with at the minute, trying to facilitate free food to go to the poorest and most isolated families in Wigan. We have kids programs and youth programs. We have a team of people that are praying throughout the week for a quest that you might put in today or through Facebook. We also have a group of people who are committed to keeping in touch with the most lonely and the most vulnerable people that we know about in our community and outside our community. We are distant, but we are not separated. God has removed all the separation. Nothing separates us, but our responsibility is distance. It is not to walk away from God for whatever reason, legitimate or illegitimate, but it's to stay close. All my daughter needs to do is stay close to her mum. Because Hannah has removed all the separation. She can do not. She will always love her. Always, no matter what. But it's down to my daughter to believe in what her mother is saying. It is your responsibility to believe what your Heavenly Father is saying. Where he loves you, he cares for you, and he will never leave you. Today is about victory. And we've taken it from the verse 37 here where it says, "No, despite all these things, all the crazy stuff that you might be going through and we're all going through, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." And we've kind of framed this as victory is yours. And I'll come to that in just a minute. But victory isn't a word that we tend to use anymore. You know, oh, well done, Harold. We've got victory. We won that other business in the, you know, the bid. Or, oh, Janice, I have victory. I've taken the last cookie. You know, it doesn't work, especially not in Wigan anyway, where we're shooting this right now. But we chose victory because it is such a dramatic word. Paul writes this word victory. And the actual word in the Greek language where we translate it from is a Greek word called hupernikao. Hupernikao is actually two words joined together. Huper, which means to go beyond, surpass, to overcome, go further. And the other one, nikao, means to conquer, to win, to beat. So overwhelming victory means that you don't just win 1-0, you win 6-0 with 5 players on the team. You don't just win after a brutal 6 rounds of tennis, but it is game, set and match after the first one. You have gone well above and beyond. But hang on a minute, Ben. Hang on. I know you're really good looking and your beard's really good and I trust everything that you're saying, so thanks. Stop putting that in the chat feed, thanks. You're telling me I've got victory, but I'm not... Listen, mate, I'm stuck at home. Mate, I'm on 80% of my wage at the minute. Oh, I've had to shut my business. So don't tell me I've got victory when I'm not doing anything at all. That's exactly my point. My point is that you have victory, not because of what you've done, but because of who Jesus is. Messengers in the Middle Ages and Dark Ages would be sent out from the king, from the royal court, to the lords and ladies of the land with different instructions and laws and rules and whatever else they would send. Now, in those days, if you've ever watched something like Robin Hood, Disney, hoodlally, golly, what a day. Big shout out there to Disney Plus. All the parents said, amen, we've just subscribed to that, or I'm going to go crazy. You'll know that people would rob, would kidnap messengers on the road because they were often carrying goods and things they could keep or sell on. So what the king would do is he would make the messengers wear colours of the king. They would make them have a special seal, a badge, whether it was on the horse or the chariot or the clothes, it would be a seal and it would be the king's seal. They would also have a flag over above them, flying high with the king's symbol on it. Now imagine yourself as one of those robbers. And if you're from Wigan like me, that's probably more closer to home than we'd like to admit, you know, no offense. We're sat by the side of the road watching this chariot pull up. Suddenly we notice the seal. Suddenly we notice the colours. And then we see the flag, the banner over them. And we turn to each other and say, let's leave them alone. Because if we take those people on, then we'll have the king to deal with. Oh, friend, right now, you need to remember that when something comes against you, they have God to deal with. They have the ultimate authority to deal with. It's not just you on your own anymore. You might feel alone, but you're not abandoned. Because God is with you. Nothing separates you. You have overwhelming victory. And the cool thing is this, is that Jesus isn't a bog standard B&M pound stretcher home bargains kind of king. He's better than every king that's existed. He conquered the grave. He healed the sick. He raised people from the dead. He's better than King Henry VIII. He's better than Burger King. He's better than Nat King Cole. He's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the head of it all. And he's with you right now. And you have overwhelming victory, not because of what you've done, but because of who he is. Amen. Amen. And amen. As I bring this to a close, I want to remind you today that this message from Paul in the book of Romans, it isn't a fairy tale. It's real life. Paul himself would have been in the middle of, at the start of the turn of the first millennia, pandemics, plague are rife, murder, slaughter, slavery. All that existed around Paul. And you would be wrong to think that Paul wrote beautiful words like this on the back of his life. Paul wrote this in the middle of his life. He would then go on to spend about another 10 years telling people about God's love for them and reasserting this message of hope and future to whoever would hear it, until he would eventually be martyred for his faith. Paul is writing this in the middle of the drama. Let me just explain to you, Paul was physically tortured by the state many times, beaten and bloodied. He was once stoned, if not more, by passers-by in the street who hated this message of God's love for them. He was shipwrecked. Three times shipwrecked, trying to get to other places to tell people about Jesus' love. And twice recorded, he spent time in a maximum security prison. There is a miracle in the middle for you. Just write that down, put in the chat right now. There's a miracle in the middle for me. But it is only when we come to that place where we are God. You've removed all separation. I don't have victory because of anything I do, but it's all because of you. When you come to that place of Jesus, I believe in you. I'm not keeping my distance anymore. I'm going to stay close to you. When you come to that place, there is a miracle in a moment where God takes all the old brokenness and he replaces it with white as snow, new land living. One of my favorite speakers of all time was a guy called Charles Spurgeon. And he said this, I have a great need for a Christ, and I have a great Christ for my needs.